Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Joey Wagner, I've seen a lot of sucky Illinois losses in my time, but that was one of the suckiest bunch of sucks losses I've seen. Still a quote from The Simpsons there. I'm Jeremy Warner. He's Joey Wagner. Just brutal. The loss we saw here at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, Indiana, as Illinois makes mistake after mistake after mistake, and it looked like they might get by with a win, an ugly win, and find a way out of here thanks to the defense. But Indiana drives the field pretty easily on the last drive as the Illinois defense just gave up chunk play after chunk play. Indiana finds pay dirt with 22 seconds left, and Illinois loses a brutal one, 23-20, in a game that you think reminds you of Maryland. It reminds you of Purdue. These games where Illinois had a lead late in the game and just couldn't find a way to finish, Joey. This is a loss that you rue come January. You rue come December. And you really rue going into next week when you had an opportunity to build some excitement in this program, get the fan base fired up. Right now there's a lot of fans saying, why should I go buy a ticket if it's the same old Illinois? Tonight felt like the same old Illinois, making mistakes that just shot themselves in the foot. I wasn't all that impressed with Indiana, and Illinois really should have won this game by multiple scores.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of felt it, right? Like, in the game, you're like, can they really win this after a pick in the red zone down there at the 8-yard line? Can they win it? I thought we'll get into the fourth down call, but I thought in the moment that was right, but then they didn't get it. Like, okay. Like, all of the things that they did, it's like, you don't really win games on the road doing this, and maybe even games at home. But then Caleb Griffin hits that. You go up 4, and you're like, oh, maybe they're going to – because the defense, like, you at this point, you've got to believe in the defense. It's too much of a body of work to not. You think, I don't know if Indiana can go the length in 2 minutes and no timeouts, and sure enough, they do. And it was a gut punch. Illinois has to figure out how to take that step, how to get over those things. And they almost survived the turnovers, the penalties, we'll get into the Brian Hightower non-call, but like, they almost survived it, but you've got to figure out how to survive. Like, that is the next step for this program. And it just so happens to come on the backdrop of there's a lot in front of you in the immediate future. I know there's still 10 games, but you could have built some buzz with Virginia coming to town. And there's a lot that was sitting right there over the course of the next 3 weeks that suddenly are backed off a little bit.
Yeah, and just big picture before we dive into the minutiae of this game and break down the 4 or 5 turnovers that they had, the penalties that they had that really, really, really cost them. Some bad plays all throughout this game, some questionable calls as well. But this is just another brutal loss in a Brett Bielema tenure, Joey, that I know they took strides last year, but Brett Bielema said we didn't come here to win 5 games because they should have won 7 last year. They could have won maybe 8 or something like that, right? Like, this feels so close to being a breakthrough. The last year and a half, really the last 14 games, they've lost three Big Ten games by four or fewer points. They've lost four Big Ten games by six or fewer points. They've lost how many games by one score, if you include the UTSA game? Like, it's just, they're so close to a breakthrough, and it's just squandered opportunities to build excitement, to be the Purdue the first 2 years of Jeff Brohm, to all those other kind of things. That's brutal. That's a really brutal thing for Illinois. And those players feel it. We talked to them afterwards. And Brett Bielema didn't mince words. I know you're looking at the Twitter with some of the responses fans are giving to some of the players here.
Yeah,
but this was brutal to take. And I understand if you're an Illinois fan just being like, why can't this change? All these different things. Brett Bielema's got to figure out a way to win these games, right? He's got to find a way to punch it in when you got to get a touchdown, to make the stop when you got to get a defensive stop, another one. I know I think Ryan Walters' crew deserve better here, but it's just Brett Bielema was so close, it feels like, over these 14 games to potentially having eight or nine wins. And instead, they have five or six with the Wyoming win. It's so close and on a razor's edge, and too many of those have gone the other way. Some of them went Illinois' way, of course, with Penn State and all that, but too many of those have gone the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's like, yes, they have, and obviously the wins and losses, like, that's the thing. But, like, again, we've talked about this so much with this program, Jeremy. It's like, right now, momentum is, it's critical. It's critical on the recruiting trail. It's critical in getting people to buy into what you're building. And you get hung up on that. Like, you kind of lose some of that momentum in these types of games. Like, you're, those are tough. Like, they're tough because I think even with everything, there's still maybe some people still have the belief, like, they're going to get out of here and do that. And, like, and then you lose that, and it just feels like the same thing over and over. Like, it's so hard to build momentum with some of these kind of gut punch losses.
Well, let's go here. I thought Ryan Walters' crew played well enough to win, right? And that's been true for how many games here of the Brett Bielema era here. Not that they weren't without mistakes. Late in the game, obviously early in the game, giving up that long touchdown after an Illinois turnover. If you take out the Brian Hightower lateral at the end, just trying to make a play, Illinois had four turnovers, though. Three of them in the second half in Indiana territory. That just can't happen. It can't happen. And Barry Lunny Jr. in the offense moved the ball. They have 448 yards today, 232 on the ground, 216 on the ground, 232. Almost had Chase Brown 1 yard away from being the first back in Illinois history to have 200-plus yards. What a performance from him today, carrying the ball 36 times with Josh McCray out. Isaiah Williams had some good moments. Like Brian Hightower, we'll talk about that play. I thought Tommy DeVito, except for the pick and maybe the fourth and one, he had another option there. There were some good moments with the Illinois offense moving the ball, controlling the clock. You just can't have turnovers. Brett Bielema teams are not supposed to have turnovers like this. And the Luke Ford one was a bang-bang play. But the Chase Brown one, Luke Ford missed a block. That was worse, I feel like, than the actual fumble he had. The interception, you can't throw that ball. You can't have that mistake in enemy territory. Those are the plays Illinois has to get out of its system, especially when you're in Indiana territory. And then just being able to punch it in late in the game. And Brett Bielema did not like mince words that he thought Barry Lunny had some things to potentially learn from this game with those turnovers, with getting the ball in the red zone, getting it at fourth and one. Because Tommy DeVito didn't have many options. He either hand the ball to Chase Brown or keep it himself. And feels like Indiana had most of those things covered. Maybe Tommy could have covered it up, but those are huge moments in the game. For all those fans wanting Brett Bielema to be aggressive, he did side on aggression today rather than being conservative, so he put it in Barry Lunny's hands, but Lunny's offense couldn't cash in.
Yeah, Chase Brown said that's a play they run every day in practice. Indiana blew it up. I mean, just blew it up. It was a design handoff to Chase Brown, and they smoked that play. And, yeah, you look up now, it's like, oh, those 3 points, huh? But in the moment – and I know we can get to the turnovers, but in the moment, you and I looked at each other like, yeah, your defense is playing lights out. Back them up. At worst, you back them up. And obviously, at worst, you have those 3 points wiped off. But you didn't hate
it's
that
It's easy
call.
To say now.
Like, that's not the call. That's not the call that went this way. And frankly, Brian Hightower's play, it's the turnovers. You can't have that. You can't have some of those penalties that they're kind of cropping up a little bit these first 2 weeks. It wasn't probably at times there wasn't enough pressure. Like, there's a lot that kind of was boiled into this. But, of course, you have those moments that's like you punch that in if you're Chase Brown. And
what was the play, like, that you sit there and you rue the most? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's the fumbled lateral with Chase Brown. And Brett Bielema said we have to draw that play up better. But to me, that's you're at the 20. Right, and you're about ready to go into the end zone or at least score some points, and you didn't come away with anything on that. You know, I know Indiana didn't score off of that, I don't believe, but that one crushed you. There's so many plays that did in this game, but the fourth and one, like, I kind of, don't people want them to be aggressive? At worst, you're setting up your defense inside the five. Indiana punted after that one. Didn't end up being the worst thing for you, except you didn't have the 3 points at the end of the game. That could have come in very handy, but if you score a touchdown on that one, it's basically a ball game with the way your defense is playing.
I mean, you can go to defense, too. You can say the 52-yard touchdown pass after the turnover was
busted coverage.
I mean, there were busted coverages there that those turned into 3 points. So, again, like, I understand there are – I don't know the play. I don't know the one play. And I think maybe if you're a fan, that's the frustrating part, because there were a lot of those that it's like, man, if that doesn't happen, this is different. If that doesn't happen, this is different. And maybe – I don't know.
That's the frustrating part, is Indiana needed all of that to win.
Yeah,
they needed all of those mistakes. The 8 penalties for 81 yards, right? I thought Taylon Lightsey had a bad one on the hold, right? Like, there were some questionable calls. Tommy DeVito didn't get a roughing the passer call late in the game or early in the game that I thought he should have gotten. Some of those things, Brian Hightower didn't go your way, so that had to help Indiana. But how many mistakes Illinois made with penalties, turnovers, decisions, right? Like, that ended up helping Indiana win that game. That's how many Indiana needed to win this game.
Indiana was 10 of 19 on third downs, and it felt like they came at the most gut-punching times. And whether it be a penalty or just that, I think Basilek had a keeper at one point. Like, those are, like, we've seen Illinois last year at that backstretch get off the field in those positions. And again, like, yeah, you held them out of the end zone and you didn't break, but those three, they're sitting there now. And, like, those are the ones that hurt. So, yeah, you're right. Indiana needed every gift that Illinois gave them. There was a few. I mean, there were more than a few gifts there that got this done. But, man, it's – I don't know, Jeremy. That's a really good question. I don't know what the one moment was.
Yeah, if you want to weigh in on that and type that in, like, that's – I don't know what that one is. To me, I think it's the – I think it's the lateral that ended up going the opposite way because you were cooking there. And one thing we noticed offensively, Josh McCray is out. We think this running back group is deep. When Chase Brown was off the field, this offense couldn't move. Reggie Love came in, 5 carries, 7 yards. Chase Hayden, 1 carry, -1 yard. Tommy DeVito, his legs were one of the biggest positives of the day. 5 first down runs for Tommy DeVito, but Chase Brown put this team on his back at times, the offense on his back, and I thought Tommy did pretty well moving the ball with his wide receivers. Again, you move the ball so well from 20 to 20, but when Chase Brown was out of the game, they just didn't have that guy, and that's a position you thought they had depth at. They rode Chase, and Brett Bielema said afterwards, we can't have 36 carries. That's not sustainable, but tonight they didn't trust anyone else. That's a concern, and I thought the offensive line, given that Julian Pearl was a late scratch in this game, tried to work out before the game, couldn't go. We don't know what the injury is.
He had a walking boot on his right foot.
Okay. He had a walking boot on his right foot. So we didn't know if that would be the case, but I thought the offensive line was pretty good. I mean, you plow the way for 218 yards, average 4 yards a carry. I know Tommy DeVito took a couple sacks today, but some of those were long developing plays. Some of them weren't. But I thought the offensive line wasn't really the problem today. You want to cash in on fourth and goal, but I thought Indiana just crashed down on that play, and you didn't have many options.
Yeah, I thought the offensive line settled in. I thought early there were some sacks that – I think one in particular – it may have only been two. I don't have it. There were three, one at the end of the game, and then two. So the one early was just Tommy DeVito didn't have a lot of time. The second one is like, Tommy, you got to throw that football and get it out of there a little bit. But – honestly, that's not even, to me, that's not a point of conversation, right? Like, the offensive line, you saw improvements week zero to week one, and you saw those improvements without one of your two, three best offensive linemen in Julian Pearl. So that was, I mean, I'm not sitting here trying to play positive. I understand. Like, I understand that's a frustrating loss, but, like, that's – before the game, I thought, ooh, that could really – that might be a tough one there. And they played pretty well on that front, but critical moments, those are when you've got to cash in.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Illinois was the better team. They controlled this game, right? I mean, they controlled the yardage. They controlled the clock, 36-33 to 23-27. And so they lost the turnover battle, 4-2, right? They got crushed in penalties. And they had a bad break with the Brian Hightower. I mean, that was a hell of a play. Well, it was a hell of a play. It looked like a catch to us, but we don't know what a catch is. It was just they didn't call it a catch on the field. If that's a catch on the field, they can't overturn it. That's a terrible break for Illinois. And I'm sure Brett Bielema would be all over the Big Ten officiating. I saw Rick Boyages is no longer the guy, so I don't know who he's talking to at the Big Ten. Well,
probably everybody who will pick up his phone call on the three-hour bus ride back to Champaign.
So that's a blow, but Illinois was the better team, I thought, controlled the game. But they also shot themselves in the foot so many times that they didn't deserve to win that game. And Brett Bielema said that afterwards.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did. And I think that probably wasn't as much a message to anybody who wasn't in that locker room. Like, he said – I guess maybe to me, Jeremy, that's like one of the surprises in the sense that, like, you thought with the year some of those things that they get, like, especially the back half of the year, the offense got in its own way. But, like, they didn't really get in their own way that much. And tonight that is exactly – what they did, and not just once. Like, that's the thing. It's like, okay, Tommy DeVito, you probably assume, like, that's going to happen. This is football. Yeah. You get a fumble here, okay. But it's just, like, it was 16 to 14 or whatever for some time. You're like, somebody at some point's got to score. I was like, you got to score, and, like, you got to get over the hump. Like, there were times that Illinois needed to get over the hump, and they just haven't done it. And I thought Brett Bielema, Jeremy, in his postgame had interesting comments when he said, we're paper thin at some positions. Like, that is the first time. Yeah. That's the first time he said that. And I don't know what he was.
Let's take some ganders ourselves. We were concerned about linebacker coming into this year. They kept saying they're great there. Andy Boo's always going to be positive with us. I don't think C.J. Hart had a tackle today. Isaac Darche Angel had six. Tariq Barnes had a phenomenal play on an option. That's a position of concern. One of our concerns on defense were two of the unknown veterans that have been here a long time, haven't made a big impact. We're wondering, can they take the next step? Kendall Smith had a really tough first half. Really tough first half. Had the interception. That was thanks to an Indiana player tipping it in the air instead of catching it.
But he probably should have had one, I think, two drives later, maybe even the next drive. And, like, you watch it. We saw Kirby Joseph on the sideline. You think, you know, he probably comes down with that second one. The guy standing over there replaced with the Lions now.
So that's a big question mark, I think, moving forward. You and I came into the season thinking, is Kendall going to be that guy, or are they going to have to find somebody different, like Kirby last year for Derek Smith, later on in the season? That's a question mark moving forward. Ezekiel Holmes and Seth Coleman, not much of an impact quite yet on this season, and that's a position I think they felt good about going in. Gabe Akis is coming in on third downs and being the pass rusher. They need more from Seth Coleman. They need more from Ezekiel Holmes. So those are positions that you're starting to feel like, I don't think outside linebackers paper thin, but they need better production there. And defensive line, Johnny Newton was amazing tonight. He's a game wrecker. He's an all Big Ten player. He's a pro. I thought Keith Randolph had good moments, but Jamal Woods gets hurt, and all of a sudden that depth looks a little paper thin, and those guys had to play a lot of reps in this game. So those are some concerns, and to be honest with you, running back felt a little paper thin tonight because you couldn't go to anyone other than Chase Brown, it felt like it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we didn't see Aiden Loffrey. Again, I'm not saying that changed, but, like, I thought we would a lot. I
mean, he said we would, yeah.
He said we would. We did not see him. So, I agree. And I think when he says paper thin, like, my read is, well, what's the other option here, right? Like, if we're not getting the production we desire at certain positions, there's certain positions that other production doesn't really, maybe doesn't exist. That's my read from it. Brett Bielema didn't say that. But when you say paper thin, there's only a few ways you can really pull out what you think he means there. I think Jeremy, I'm glad you mentioned Gabe Backus. That train's coming. Like,
Alec Bryant had a quarterback hit today. Like, those guys, at least, are starting to show some flashes being able to get to the quarterback. I expected a lot more out of Seth Coleman. I don't know if I expected a ton more out of Ezekiel Holmes, but they need more production there. This wouldn't shock me if today was kind of the Virginia moment, or after Virginia next week, is that going to be it at the bye week? We have to make some personnel changes.
That's what I'm looking for. Is what does this – are there going to be some tweaks, snap tweaks, number tweaks? Sure. Like, I'm sure you'll see that against Virginia. To me, circle Chattanooga. Like, what does this team look like coming out of a bye week against Chattanooga? To be fair, you can probably experiment a little bit more, try to ease in guys to some reps there. But, like, that's – if there's changes, that to me – remember, they changed Alex Palcheski and Julian Pearl after a bye week last year going into Penn State. Like, there's time to kind of work it there if that's what's going to happen. But I don't know, man. I think there are still some question marks that do need to be answered. And, look, we didn't learn a lot last week. Like, this is the most information we can take out of these first 2 weeks because they were tested. And there's still a lot of growing to do.
Yeah, I kind of would just go into, like, what have we learned? We've learned Chase Brown is really freaking good. Tommy DeVito, I think, is an upgrade. I do. I think he's an upgrade because he can run the ball. I think he's pretty efficient, makes pretty good decisions. Some accuracy comes and goes. That happens. I thought the other quarterback today was far less accurate, even though he threw for 330 yards and led that huge drive towards the end of the game. I thought Tommy managed everything pretty well today, and except for maybe some fourth ones, accuracy. You know, there was maybe a couple decisions where he put the ball in harm's way, but not too many of them. Isaiah Williams got really involved today, had a couple drops that were costly, but still 9 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown. Hightower and Bryant each get 43 yards, so you feel those guys are coming on a little bit. I think the defensive front was fantastic for most of the night. Indiana had 32 rushing yards on 26 attempts. The PFF numbers, I'm really looking forward to see how many pressures Illinois got, because they didn't get any sacks, but they did get some pressure, especially on the interior with guys like Randolph and Newton. But, yeah, I think we've learned that. But we've also learned some of the guys they were counting on to step up haven't quite done it yet.
Yeah, I think the interior of the defensive line, I think, is getting some pressure. You got to get pressure on the edge. I mean, that's edge rushers can wreck games. You see it. I mean, literally at every single level, you see, you got to get more. I thought Gaback has had those moments.
And I thought Brian Walters brought a lot of pressure via blitzing. They were pretty aggressive with that tonight.
They were, yeah. But, yeah, man, like, you need those steps from some of those guys that you thought you were going to get steps up from, because if not, the depth you thought maybe you could skate by with becomes a lot. Maybe that ice breaks at some position a little bit. So I'm interested to see what they do next week in terms of how those rotations look. But, yeah, Isaiah Williams copped up to it. He said, I got to come up with those catches. Like, if Isaiah Williams wants to be who he wants to be and who they think he can be, you've got to have those catches. He probably left 22, 23, 4 yards out there on some of those catches. And you could even put another one down the sideline on the first drive of the game that was right out of his – probably got to come up with that if you're going to be who you think you're going to be and who you can be. So, again, I mean, I don't know, man.
Those are the plays. Those are the plays that absolutely kill you. As for that last drive by Indiana, I talked with Sidney Brown after the game. He did say, like, we can't have butterflies there. We can't be different than what we were all game. He was basically saying, like, they were playing different. I don't think it was a complete prevent there. It just felt like Brett Bielema said it afterwards. Our guys needed to be more aggressive. Felt like they lost their leverage and what they were supposed to do. Just felt like the moment was, after all of that great play by the defense, the moment just got too big for them. And it felt like Purdue last year. Felt like Maryland last year, where the defense kept making stop after stop. And they deserved to win that game. But they needed one more. And they couldn't get it.
I'll tell you, there were a couple. I was down in the end zone, Jeremy. I know you were up in the press box. There were a couple plays where I thought they might get to him. Like, I thought some pressure was coming in and that pocket got smaller, and you thought, is that going to be the moment where it's like you get him and that's it? And, like, you asked what the moment they – I still think they're looking for the moment to turn. Like, and we thought Penn State was a year ago, and it didn't. Like, what is going to be –
Minnesota felt like it too, right?
What is going to be the moment that it turns? And I think that's what they're still looking for.
Yeah, it's just brutal. It's brutal talking to these guys after the game, but I just think it's brutal for Illinois trying to build momentum here. I thought if you got to 2-0, you go home with Virginia, great crowd, fired up, ready to go 3-0, which probably means you're going 4-0 with Chattanooga there. Now you got to go win that Virginia game. Now you got to go, you know, I thought 3-1, no matter how you get it, you always thought you could lose this game. It's a Big Ten game against an Indiana program that's better than it was last year. I don't think it's a great program, but neither are you, obviously. So you needed to kind of try and win this one. Now you got to go steal one elsewhere. You're going to be an underdog to Virginia, probably touchdown, something like that, 10 points or something like that. Got to find a way to surprise, and then you got to learn from this and find a way to not be in those situations again, whether it's Isaiah Williams making that catch or Luke Ford making a play or Barry Loney with his play call or the defense getting that stop, even though they've been asked to get stop after stop. It's just that one more play, that one less penalty, that one less turnover.
Yeah, Brett Bielema said, you know, he said we're going to have to lean into the relationships our coaches have with these guys, which to me read, there's going to be some conversation in the next, tomorrow's Saturday, it's today. Saturday's an off day, but it sounds like there's going to be some conversations. And I don't think that's just coach to player. I think that's coach to coach. And like, this, you just got to – something's got to flip. And, like, you do have to remember this is Brett Bielema's 14th game at Illinois, and he didn't take over a program exactly in good standing, but he's shown enough that, like, the light switch is there to be turned on. Like, that's the thing. It's not like you see this team getting gutted every week like you had in the past. Like, the lights, it's right there. Like the pieces are in place. They've just got to do it. I don't know what that looks like or when it happens, or I guess more importantly with this program, how do you sustain that? Because the light switch kind of went on last year and they didn't sustain it. You got to figure out how to build on some of those moments.
Well, you found a way to be competitive last year, win a couple close games, lose a couple heartbreakers. You felt like this could have been one to, hey, we made mistakes, but we find a way to get through it. No, it's just another brutal close one. You don't want that to become the thing of what you are. You're competitive. Hey, you're competitive. Well, you're two. You want to win those games, right? Like, that's what you want to take a step forward with this year. This team obviously has some deficiencies that we've seen, but they looked like the better team again. Like, and they found a way to lose. You got to stop finding ways to lose games like this.
In year one of a rebuild, which is what this is, hey, Illinois is a tough out is a great compliment from an opposing coach. In year two, you don't want to be a tough out anymore. And in year three, you sure as heck don't. And Brett Bielema, in his career, really hasn't been a tough – like, that's not a compliment. He's had good teams. Like, you don't want to be a tough out anymore. You want to be a team that goes on the road against a team that you probably are better than or you played better than and close the door. Like, that's how you get that out. Like, being a tough out's not a – that's not a, hey, that's really nice of you to say. Like, that's a – well, we're done with that. Like, that's – and that's – how does it get there?
Well, Illinois got two games under its belt before Virginia even plays here in, what, a couple hours from what we're doing. I would expect Virginia to be 1-0 with a pretty easy win against Richmond tomorrow. That's a dynamic passing offense. They lose a lot of offensive linemen, but Brennan Armstrong's back. Three of their top wide receivers are back. A different coaching staff, all of that. But Illinois got to regroup, find another way to win, find another way to bounce back because, Joey, this team hasn't won back-to-back games under Brett Bielema. Like, you can come away with a 38-6 win after over Wyoming, who I think is terrible. Doesn't mean anything the next week. You got to find a way to kind of stack these victories, stack days, as Brett Bielema says. Any final thoughts from Indiana?
Yeah, I don't like the term must win on September 3rd, I guess it is now, because I think that's just it's dramatic, and it's not meant in honesty. It's meant in a gut instinct or gut reflex. But you look at what could be a week from now, 8 days from now. You dreamed of 3-0. You dreamed of 2-1. You're like, oh, all right. If you're Illinois, you're suddenly looking down the barrel at potentially 1-2, and like that's where that's tough to go 1-2 when you kind of felt like you thought you were building a little bit of momentum. Like So I don't like must win, but there are some implications with Virginia coming to town in terms of perception, in terms of your own forward momentum. It doesn't forego anything that's going to happen in the next nine, but there's a big chance to kind of turn this ship a little bit and turn this page, or you could be looking at one or two, and that's a tough one.
You and I cover recruiting, man. It's important to find that, and tonight was just a missed opportunity for that. We'll see how they bounce back next week against Virginia. For Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Sorry for the snafu on the YouTube Live. There was some issue with time zones on my computer and what we're actually at in Indiana. So we'll try and do the live post-game podcast next week at Virginia and moving forward. We have a lot of fun with those. So sorry about that. We'll try to get that corrected for next week. But for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Don't forget, if you want to be a VIP member at Illini Inquirer, now is the time to sign up. 75% off. That's more than $80 of savings. You get all of our VIP analysis that we'll have. I can't wait to talk to Jay Layman. I can wait to watch the film, but I will break down that film in our film room breakdown. As always, Derek Piper's got Illinois basketball recruiting covered. We got Illinois football recruiting covered. So sign up now at Illini Inquirer for an annual VIP membership. It's the best deal of the year, so act now there. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts at Illini Inquirer. Give us a rating review wherever you get your podcasts as well, and check us out on YouTube. Smash that like button, subscribe to us. We appreciate that. All right, we'll talk to you next time. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.